I've interviewed many successful people over the years, and one thing I find fascinating is many of them don't consider themselves business savvy. Take the owners of Tight Knit Brewing. They turn to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards, and do all of it in one place with the Chase mobile app. And that's helped these brew-loving friends turn a passion into a business. Learn more at chaseforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Pushkin. If you are a person, and I'm guessing you are, you have had to tell someone you love a big and scary thing. At least once. It's part of the human condition. Maybe you've had to tell your supportive spouse that you flunked out of med school. Again. Maybe you had to explain to your grandparents why you brought a boyfriend and a girlfriend to Cousin Gabe's bar mitzvah. Or maybe you've had to reveal to Papa that you're in an awful mess, but you've made up your mind and you're keeping the baby. And you don't mean maybe. We reveal these truths to our people because the alternative is often way worse. Even if you manage to skillfully avoid the telling, if you're like me, the secret you're hiding will devour you from the inside. And that's no fun at all. Because I did not want the gnawing feeling of withholding to consume me, it was time to reveal my autistic truth to my family. A year after my diagnosis, but still, at least I was doing it, or thinking about doing it. Now, I like to control for every possible outcome when I am telling people things, so I couldn't go into the big reveal without some preparation. I had to do some practicing first.
What am I doing?
We're role-playing.
Okay.
Okay.
You can be dad, I'll be mom. That's gross, but anyway, we'll just try it.
Ew. Why don't you be
I'm
dad?
With my girlfriend Hannah and her son Jacob. We're at a noisy food hall pretending to be my family when I do my big autistic reveal.
What if I just say, hey guys, I just want to let you know that I was diagnosed with autism a year ago. Bye, and I leave the room.
No.
Like I run out of the room.
No.
What if I just write it on a piece of paper and hand it to them?
No.
Oh, I do the cards from like
Love Actually.
I do the Love Actually cards.
It's like A, U, T.
Right.
And they're like
She's an auteur.
PowerPoint presentation.
Oh my god.
PowerPoint is.
How hilarious would that be? Can you imagine?
What would
the first slide be?
I wasn't being serious, but I mean.
I'm not going to do it because it seems like a lot of work.
What if we did it in
I know this isn't role playing in the classical sense, but still, working it from all sides, ridiculous or not, is helping. Okay. It just takes the heaviness out of it.
What are our options on the table?
No. What about a interpretive dance?
No.
Autistic dance?
What does that even look like?
So no to interpretive dance.
I'm sorry, I don't have any real answers.
What if I do like a mime routine? Like I mime it. Or like charades.
I just don't have any serious answers.
No, I know. I mean, look, if you don't have any serious answers, you don't have any serious answers.
Because really, the only serious answer is to be direct and open-hearted, even though it's scary as hell. My inner therapist would tell me to try to understand why telling my family I am autistic fills me with dread. What's the worry? And how can I honor that anxiety without succumbing to it?
I mean, I guess part of it is, like, you have to think the best of people, right? Like, in order to mitigate your own anxiety, you have to kind of be like, these people are my family, they love me in a particular way, and hopefully, like, whatever I talk to them about, I'm not telling them, like, I'm going to jail, you know, or I committed a crime.
It's like, there's two ways to go in. One is, like, self-protective. Like, I have to set boundaries and protect myself because, like, this isn't going to go well. It's like if you're telling your evangelical parents that you're gay or something. Like, that's one way to go in. And another way to go in is, like, I just clean-minded, like, clear-minded. And a third way to go in would be, like, expect the best. So that's the spectrum.
I was really split about this. One voice in my head was telling me, just get on with it already, you giant baby. Tell your family. What's the big deal? And the other voice was like, oh yeah, no, this is going to go very badly indeed. And that's reflective of our family dynamics. See, my family is a particular kind of supportive. If I needed to get out of a legal jam, or I wanted help painting my apartment or planting my garden, then yeah, they're all about it. And that's not nothing. But we don't all sit around and gasbag about our feelings. Emotional problem solving really isn't our jam. But if I was going to divulge, it was going to have to get emotional. You're listening to The Loudest Girl in the World, who is not that granny in line with you at the bakery telling you all about her favorite types of lemon bars. It's me, Lauren Ober. The Loudest Girl in the World is a show about finding yourself broken in a pretty dark place and emerging from that place a mostly glued back together person. A few weeks before Thanksgiving, my producer Ryder put an event on my calendar for November 25th. The name of the event was Shruggy Emoticon Upside Down ? Lauren comes out to family ? Shruggy Emoticon. I mean, Ryder put so much care and thought into the event title, how could I back out? At this point, I had already told Hannah and a handful of friends, and I was even many months into making this actual show. And I still hadn't told the Obers, but I had to.
So part of this process, both in the making of the podcast and also just IRL in your life, is you telling your parents.
That's Ryder, audio producer to the stars.
How do you feel about that?
It feels super scary for reasons that I can't quite put my finger on, but which maybe you can help me put my finger on. It feels, I don't know. It just feels like a little bit old to be having a revelation for your parents, you know?
Well, that's just ageist towards me. There's no right age to come out about anything. But real talk, I'm just not good at having hard conversations about me, which Ryder knows because she's heard me have a million of them, each one more embarrassing than the next.
That's one sort of hallmark for me, is that, like, it's a lot of, like, I'm telling you a thing, but I'm not actually inviting any questions. And
with this, you want something different.
Well, sure. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, my gut feels like I just want to, like, tell them and then, like, run away, you know? I think it's because I worry about the judgment, that I don't want to have to face the judgment. Like, I want to tell you the thing, but I don't want to be judged for it. And then it's like too vulnerable to engage with it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of judgments do you think might come up?
I guess I worry that they'd be like, what are you talking about? You know, the same as I've had for other people, mm-hmm. you know, sort of, no, you're not. Like, you're fine. You have a job, this, that, the, all of the things that people with a subtle autism presentation experience. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you tell people something like that, it's not just yours anymore. It becomes the other person's story or bit of information, and they get to decide what they want to do with that. And if they want to ignore it, they can. If they want to engage with it in a positive way, like there are lots of choices that people have when somebody tells them something. And so I think part of it for me is that there's too much that I can't anticipate. Like, I have massive anticipatory anxiety, even just talking about this and thinking about the prospect of it, even though you're making me do it, you know, it's like very stressful to think about.
Ryder is making me do it, and I will hold it against her for the rest of my days. But also, I am a person with agency, and this is important for me to do. Ryder and I agreed that the day after Thanksgiving, I would have some chat skis with Kathy, Russ, and RJ, aka mom, dad, and brother. So much for me bum rushing the Best Buy on Black Friday, I would instead be telling my family a hard thing. Thanks, Ryder. I emailed the family and told them I had something I wanted to tell them about. I let them know that the topic was a sensitive one for me. That's what my buddy Anna Sale, author of the book Let's Talk About Hard Things, told me to do. Christ almighty, just writing that little email out was hard. Now I actually have to go through with telling them the hard thing? It would have been better if they had all declined because they were busy perming their hair or organizing their paperweight collection or something. But everyone agreed to stick around after dinner, so I had to go through with it. Or did I? A few days before Thanksgiving, I called up my pal Becca in hopes that she might be able to ease my nerves around the whole situation. Becca is my ex-partner, and yes, we're still great friends, and yes, I know that's a lesbian stereotype. Big whoop!
What kind of soup are you making?
I am making a red lentil. Like, nothing special. But it is quite flavorful, and it's very soup season right now. It's very, blah, everything is terrible.
I'd been feeling really bad about the weather turning and endless COVID and how hard this journey of reckoning had been. And I was being a real Eeyore off his meds about it. But Becca knew the right thing to say.
If you go and you come out to your parents and it's hard and it will probably be hard or their reactions make you feel bad, you can just call me.
Well, I really appreciate that. I mean, I will.
So I had a plan. I emailed my family to let them know I wanted to have a conversation with them. My autism support human slash girlfriend Hannah was down to be there with me, and Becca offered her emotional phone-a-friend support. So I was well on my way to gathering up all my courage and steeling myself for the great autism reveal of 2021. But then I had a very intense setback. I fully melted down. The bad feelings really dug in on this one. It happened the day before Hannah and I drove to Pittsburgh for the holiday. I was racing to finish a work project and feeling generally overwhelmed by the prospect of heading out of town, because nothing grinds my gears quite like a highway rest stop before a holiday. Also, I remembered that it was exactly 1 year since my diagnosis. Naturally, I had some feelings about that. So we had all the ingredients for a deluxe-sized meltdown. Because I've gotten into the habit of documenting myself being a saddo, I pulled out my phone and hit record.
Today is the diagnosis anniversary. 1 year since I got my results back, and this is not the state that I wanted to be in when, you know, a year later, still trying to figure out how to process this and even how to, like, tell my family. And I think I have to abort the mission because I don't think it's wise in this time to try to shoehorn something like that in at a very at a time that's already going to be quite stressful for everyone.
I really felt like I needed to pack it in. This was not my time. My brother and sister-in-law were traveling to Pittsburgh for the first time with my 2-year-old nephew, and my mom had just gotten a puppy. So 3/4 of my family was already preloaded for maximal anxiety. Even if it wasn't a holiday, it was already a powder keg just waiting for a spark. I texted Ryder and told her I couldn't go through with it. It was just too much to tell my family en masse. I would rather eat a barrel of arugula with a chaser of capers than sit mom, dad, and little brother down to tell them this. I could maybe handle it if I did it one by one. But not all in a group. No way. My stress level was at an 11 just considering the proposition. Ryder wrote back that it was no big deal and I should take my time with it. Girlfriend Hannah, on the other hand, was not going to let me off the hook. She was like, don't be a weensicle. You're doing it. I mean, sometimes you just need a person to push you out of an airplane when you're skydiving for the first time. Hannah is that person. So, after the break, I free fall into the great autism reveal of 2021. And it goes, well, you'll see.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you, who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakeables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member, FDIC, copyright 2024. JPMorgan Chase & Co.
Hello, hello. Malcolm Gladwell here from Revisionist History, my podcast about the overlooked and the misunderstood. A couple of years ago, I wrote a book called Outliers. It was about exceptional people, the ones who operate at the outer edges of human performance. Outliers fascinate me. And last year, I discovered an outlier in the form of a community organization, Washington State's City of Bellevue. The city wanted to improve public safety by making their roads safer. So they created something that no one had ever built before, a platform that gave road users warnings of any dangers ahead in real time. How did they build it? By using a combination of technologies, the Cellular Vehicle-to-Everything Network, T-Mobile's 5G network, and 5G-connected cameras. People driving, bicycling, walking, running, can't forget people running, and people operating the transportation network now had a way to prevent crashes. It's been a huge success. The City of Bellevue earned first place in the community category at the T-Mobile for Business Unconventional Awards, an event that celebrates T-Mobile customers who've dared to innovate for the sake of meaningful change. If you're a T-Mobile for Business customer and your team has, like the City of Bellevue, innovated something really, really cool, I encourage you to enter. It's also a great way for Outliers to be recognized in front of your industry's most influential leaders. You can enter at tmobile.com/unconventional awards. That's tmobile.com/unconventional awards. See you there.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I have never cared much for holidays. They're always too unpredictable, too unwieldy, too sad, too prescribed, just too much. And they always kick up a huge cloud of anxiety for me. So, right off the bat, Thanksgiving isn't my favorite day, and not just because of its genocidal origin story. Also, Thanksgiving is an eating holiday, and eating is not one of my favorite hobbies. Also, I'm a vegetarian, so turkey, stuffing, and gravy will never touch my plate. One of the only things I actually like about this particular holiday is the jellied cranberry sauce in a can that no one else in my family will eat but me. Also, green beans. I love green beans.
I really enjoy beans. Beans? No, I like green beans. Like, Hannah makes amazing green beans. I really like these green beans.
That is the one thing my children reliably eat for their entire
I beans. Think they're one of the best. To me, they're the green best beans, vegetable.
Crispy green
but Hannah makes these crispy green beans with, like, a Dijon. Like, what is the sauce?
I think we had them at your house. I've made that 10,000 times.
Yeah, we had them at your house.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And if that isn't riveting dinner conversation fare, I don't know what is. Other dinner table topics included my nephew's daycare.
So we pay extra for him to go on the tumble bus.
That's cute.
The provenance of Hannah's rugs.
Oh, I do buy a lot on Etsy, though.
And a jacket Hannah and I saw on a visit to Marshall's earlier in the day.
The color was like a mauve puce. It was not attractive. It was like a fancy brick.
We also chatted briefly about the foods my mother cannot stand.
Now, what about eggplant, which seems also similarly all watery?
Not as watery.
Oh, that and sweet potatoes. Yeah, they're the things that really grabbed me.
P.S. Kathy's fibbing big time. Her list of off-limits foods includes basically all dishes flavored with curry powder, cumin, and cardamom, and anything with a whiff of watermelon. Anyway, I was glad for all this Thanksgiving small talk. It helped distract me from the anxiety fog that was rapidly descending on me. But at some point, the meal had to end, and I just had to get on with it. So after a delicious dessert of cranberry sauce from a can for me and homemade pumpkin pie for everyone else, we cleaned up the dinner, sent my nephew to bed, and reconvened around the table. And then it was time. It was just my dad, Russ, my mom, Kathy, and my brother, RJ. No in-laws, no step-parents. And of course, Hannah was there doing her best Autismo Junior stand-in routine. Oh, how I long for Autism Pleasantville in this moment. We were all sitting around my mom's tiger maple dining room table. Hannah to my right, Russ caddy corner to my left, mom and brother directly across from me. My two recorders were like table centerpieces, awkwardly perched between us. Russ is a lawyer, so he couldn't help but look like he was primed to rebut opposing counsel's arguments. RJ is a cool guy, so he was leaning back in his chair, enjoying a beer. Kathy, the quiet one, sat neatly with her hands folded in her lap. The mood was one of curious bemusement. I started the conversation off in a way that Anna Sale, I'm pretty sure, would not have endorsed, with a lazy, half-hearted joke.
I feel, like, very nervous about this, and I feel like, you know, this is, like, a hard thing to talk about for me, and I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm gay.
You know, I've known Matt for quite a while.
Just kidding.
Lauren, what a bombshell.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Somebody kill me now.
So basically, like, I had been feeling for a long time, like something, like, was off, like, mental health-wise, or I wasn't quite, like, just was overly sensitive, or lots of things felt, like, just not, like, flowing right. And then, you know, I would talk to my therapist about it, and you know, it didn't seem anything, you know, like, diagnosable or whatever. And then, when the pandemic happened, I kind of, like, lost my shit. I mean,
you know how this spiel goes. You've heard it before, and at this point, I've repeated it a bunch of times. I should have been sort of on autopilot, but I wasn't. I was parsing through every word so carefully, trying to be as specific as possible. I didn't want there to be any confusion about what I was saying. Listening back to the tape, I realized I don't fully remember this moment. At some point in the telling, I think I just dissociated. Not clinically. Just that my words were trying to thread the finest of needles, while my brain was sizzling in my skull. I couldn't make eye contact, though that's no big surprise. I just kept looking at this weird print of a crow wearing boots that Kathy had hanging over her mantle. On the recording, I noticed my voice is uncharacteristically thin and shaky.
And so I ended up going to a psychologist and taking a number of tests for autism. And I have an autism diagnosis.
Oh, man. I did it. I revealed my hard thing.
And so I wanted to tell you guys about that because obviously you're my family and I love you. And I've been trying to figure out how to navigate, like, the next 43 years of my life, knowing that the troubles that I was having and the things that are difficult, a lot of them can be chalked up to this diagnosis.
In retrospect, this would have been a great moment for me to pause and wait for a response. But that's not what happened. I kept going. I was basically like a human Wikipedia page for autism. I told them everything I knew about the condition, about cultural tropes and the underdiagnosis of girls and women, and the mental health challenges that can go hand in hand with autism. Then, after talking at them for 11 straight minutes, also not something Anna Sale would endorse, I waited for someone to respond. Finally, my mom, Kathy, tapped in.
Well, I think it's very brave of you to talk about it. I see that it's very painful for you to go through this and to talk to your family about it. Mm-hmm. I really get that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad, too. Personally, I really don't know much about autism, mm-hmm. or Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think I know anyone other than Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have any basis to make a comment on how you fit in to that diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
or that I understand it, because I don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
Listening to this months later, I don't know so much that it's brave to tell my family I'm autistic. Sure, it's scary, and sure, there are stakes. But more than anything, the reveal seems post-brave. I don't even really seem to have that much control over it. The reveal felt imperative, as if I was compelled by a force larger than myself that I cannot see or name to show the full measure of my humanity to the people who raised me. In that way, the revelation feels every bit as critical as breathing air or drinking water, but exponentially more terrifying. Because you're asking to be seen. And how many of us truly feel seen? Luckily, right off the bat, Kathy seemed to at least try to see.
I mean, some of the things that you were saying, I agree with. I see your sensitivity to noise, and I see your sensitivity to smells and textures. You always have had that.
Right.
For me, I always was aware that there was some issue.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a name for it. I didn't understand it. I knew you were struggling.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that it was part of an autism issue. I didn't have the knowledge to know what it might be or to even think to take you for testing. I mean, it wasn't a thing we did.
Nobody would have back then. Little girls like me didn't register as kids who needed support or accommodations. So I can hardly blame my parents for not getting me help. Because what help was there to get? I don't really remember how I felt when my mom said these words because dissociation. But hearing them now, I feel heartened. I appreciate that in the moment, Kathy could mirror at least some of my challenges. It meant that she was at least trying to engage with what I was ham-handedly telling them. I continued explaining to my family the ins and outs of autism and the way my movement through the world was so much different than theirs.
Like, the sensitivity goes way beyond, and it's like, I've learned that a lot of, like, my, like, anger and sort of aggression or hostility probably come from both the anxiety of having so many feelings and not an understanding of how to express them, but also there's a thing that particularly women who are autistic do is, like, you're trying so hard to do all of the right things, you're trying hard to communicate in the way that everybody else does, and you're trying hard to fix your body and your face and all of these things, you're thinking about them all the time, and then it is absolutely exhausting and you're just laid out.
At this point, I was sweating through my pants and trying desperately to sit still and not rock back and forth while the three of them stared back at me. My dad, Russ, is the scariest starer in the history of staring. He's a trial lawyer and a former prosecutor, and I'm pretty sure he could stare me into an admission of guilt for a crime I most assuredly did not commit. So just picture a man boring his eyeballs into the back of your brain when you hear this.
So now that you've revealed this to us,
mm-hmm.
how would you like us to treat you differently from the way we've treated you in the past?
Well, I don't think it's any differently. I appreciate the question. I mean, I think it's more just like an understanding of, like, how I move through the world and how I have moved through the world for the last, like, 43 years, which is that, like, things have been very hard. And, you know, I've had a real jagged work history, and I'm not saying it's because of that necessarily, but, like, you know, and even though, like, I work hard and I work hard and I work hard, like, I often feel like I'm beating my head against a wall, and I've, you know, I've had some, like, really bad, dark times around that, and so just sort of knowing, like, yeah, like, I have a little bit of a different neurology, and doesn't require, like, anybody to do anything, or just, like, it's just an understanding, I think.
As we continued, I started to feel like they got it, or at least we were scratching the surface. Russ asked me about my coping strategies and workplaces, and I told him how I'd instituted a rule where I no longer work with incompetent assholes. Also therapy. Lots of therapy. We dipped into my executive functioning challenges with punctuality and memory, and we talked about emotional dysregulation and the anger that comes from routinely being misunderstood. It seemed like it was going okay. I mean, I still wanted to bolt out of the room, but at least it was less awkward than the start. Then, some number of beers in, my brother RJ confronted me about the impact my anger had on him.
Me, I was just a little kid starting to, like, kind of understand
the
world around me. I was looking up to you all the time.
Yeah.
And that intolerance for, you know, a sound or a habit or a behavior that often was coming from me came out in, like, extreme aggression. And it made me think, like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
No, I mean, it is, I remember, like, you used to wear your keys on your belt.
Not a great look.
Not a great look now. But
no, my chairs bear the scars, let me tell you.
But, like, the sound of the keys jingling was like unmanageable for me. And I would be like it builds up, it builds up, it builds up.
And then it gets really trying, personal when it comes really out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're trying to tamp it down. It's like you would be listening to your music and I could hear the music bleeding out. And you're trying and you're trying and trying to ignore it, try to ignore it, try to ignore it, try to ignore it. And then it bubbles over and it comes out probably as aggressive. And I feel terrible about that. But I remember all of those moments. I remember one time Kathy was singing in the car in a low sing. And I could not, I hate it. I hate it so much. It's if she's black, if she's singing so loud, it would not bother me at all. It's low. It's a frequency thing. And you can't control it. If I could control that, if I could ignore those things, I totally would. Why does anybody want to be saddled with that? Nobody wants to be thinking about those things all the time. It's awful. And so, yeah, like you're suppressing all of that. And then when the bubble over, it's like awful. You don't want to be yelling at somebody for their headphones or their keys jangling. Like, I feel terrible. Like, that it comes off as like, who the fuck is this person? What's wrong with them? Like, shut up about it.
But you probably didn't have that reaction with people who were younger than you very often. That was me, where it's like, I don't know what's right. This person's older than me, and they're telling me everything is wrong.
Sure.
Those are some hard pills to swallow. My brother had clearly been holding on to some stuff for many, many years. And I feel awful about that. Truly, I do. But I also can't help the way my brain works, the way some sounds just send my body into fight mode. Because in the fight, flight, or freeze paradigm of self-protection, I am a fighter. And if I had known then what I know now, well, then we'd all be in a better place. Hindsight's a real jerk. So we should probably take a little break to process.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you, who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakeables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member, FDIC, copyright 2024. JPMorgan Chase & Co.
Hello, hello. Malcolm Gladwell here from Revisionist History, my podcast about the overlooked and the misunderstood. A couple of years ago, I wrote a book called Outliers. It was about exceptional people, the ones who operate at the outer edges of human performance. Outliers fascinate me. And last year, I discovered an outlier in the form of a community organization, Washington State's City of Bellevue. The city wanted to improve public safety by making their roads safer. So they created something that no one had ever built before, a platform that gave road users warnings of any dangers ahead in real time. How did they build it? By using a combination of technologies, the Cellular Vehicle to Everything Network, T-Mobile's 5G network, and 5G-connected cameras. People driving, bicycling, walking, running, can't forget people running, and people operating the transportation network now had a way to prevent crashes. It's been a huge success. The City of Bellevue earned first place in the community category at the T-Mobile for Business Unconventional Awards, an event that celebrates T-Mobile customers who've dared to innovate for the sake of meaningful change. If you're a T-Mobile for Business customer and your team has, like the City of Bellevue, innovated something really, really cool, I encourage you to enter. It's also a great way for outliers to be recognized in front of your industry's most influential leaders. You can enter at tmobile.com/unconventional awards. That's tmobile.com/unconventional awards. See you there.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So, turns out it's not that easy to field comments and questions and critiques from the family. Thankfully, my stand-in emotional support human, Hannah, was there to ease the tension and pinch hit a few questions.
Can I ask you guys, does any of you see anything? I mean, I know this is all new, but anything that you remember throughout all of your years of being in a family with Lauren that you would reevaluate or think of differently?
Well, of course, it was a whole school thing. I mean, her, quote, disruptive behavior, there was no mean intent behind it. She could not manage herself in a classroom setting and not being able to be the one who was talking. That always stood out, and also through the years in her jobs, having difficulties in every work environment with one particular person or another. And it's what you said, they were incompetent, they couldn't do their job, and they were telling you to do something that you could do better or that you knew wasn't right. Those are the things, the two big things that stand out for me.
What about other kids, just out of curiosity?
Lauren had a difficult time connecting with kids always, from the time she was young, when we would have play dates and stuff, and she'd want to play her own thing, and the girls that came over would want to do something different.
Even now, as a person with 40-plus years in the can, it's hard to hear that I sucked at play dates, because I was a genuinely lonely kid. I spent a lot of time by myself. If it weren't for my athletic abilities and the fact that I was on a million teams, I'm pretty sure I would have gone my entire childhood with no real peer interaction. I just didn't really know how to friend. As we were getting to the end of our chat, my younger brother RJ asked a question.
This has been like a process of understanding yourself that's been going on for a while. And I'm curious how it compares to, you know, 20 years removed, your experience coming out.
Oh,
because you started this with a joke, like, oh, guys, I'm gay.
No, I know. I mean,
this is kind of a coming out.
Sure, it is. To think of it as like, I mean, it sounds cheesy to say, but just sort of like letting in. Like, I don't feel like I'm revealing anything that I like feel ashamed of or anything like that. I feel like we're all on the same page.
You know, I remember with great clarity you and I having that first conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember telling
you're
you.
You're a deli or something.
I remember telling you that I love you and I just want you to be happy. And I feel the same way right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Anything.
In terms of how we feel or treat you.
In that moment, after I said what I needed to say and my family heard me, I felt relief. I never have to do that again. Though working myself up into a lather was mostly for naught, as these things tend to go. But after the big reveal, which was not so much a bombshell as it was a tiny grenade, I felt a little hollow. I was so wrapped up in getting the telling right that I forgot about me. What did I actually want from the reveal, beyond just a basic exchange of information? And what I realized later is that I want to be treated differently. I need to be treated differently. When my dad asked me the question earlier about how the family should regard me in light of this new information, here's how I should have responded. I want to have this revelation inform how I'm considered. I want my particular brain to be taken into account. I want my neurobiology to be understood, if not embraced. But what I really want, and have no business asking for, is that all of my family's bad feelings about me, that I'm judgmental or aggressive or overly opinionated, be seen through this new lens. I don't want them to think of me as insolent or obnoxious. I don't want to be fixed in their brains as difficult or selfish. I want them to see how hard it's been for me and to really digest all the ways I have to fold myself into a little origami version of me just to appear normal. I want an abundance of empathy, and I want to be enveloped by it. And I want every little Lauren out there to have the same. And maybe over time, that can happen. But I suspect that before I am swaddled in compassion, I have to have compassion for myself. I have to accept who I am. I didn't ask to be this way, but I am this way all the same. I am a middle-aged autistic lesbian with too many houseplants, not enough self-control, and a whole lot of life left to live. Goddess willing, LOL. But in order to get on with the business of living, there's one more thing I have to do. I have to absolve myself. I have to send shame packing. I have to be okay to feel things. And I need to enlist the help of an ex-girlfriend, a dying squirrel, and a Grammy-nominated musician to make all that happen. You've been listening to The Loudest Girl in the World. It's hosted, written, and executive produced by me, Lauren Ober. Our senior producer is Ryder Alsop. Our associate producer is David Ja. Sophie Crane is our showrunner and senior editor. Jake Gorski is our mix engineer. Music composed by my autistic Kiwi pal, the inimitable Lady Hawk. Our artwork was created by the autistic illustrator Loretta Ipsum. The show was fact-checked by Andrea Lopez-Cruzado, and our autism consultant is Sarah Caput. Our executive producers are Mia Lobel and Lital Molad. Big thanks to my family, Russ, Kathy, and RJ, for taking in all the hard things. Love you guys. And special thanks to Jessica Chamberlain and Heather Kenyon for sharing their hard things with us, even though we didn't end up using them. And thanks to you, friend, for listening.
The tradition of breaking tradition continues with the return of the unconventional awards from T-Mobile for Business at Mobile World Congress. This is an event that celebrates innovators whose bold actions took their industries to new places. If that sounds like you and you're a T-Mobile for Business customer, enter today. If you win, you'll be publicly honored among some of the most influential leaders in industry, and me, I'll be there too. Enter now at T-Mobile.com/unconventional awards. See you there.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.